Oh, Father, again, it's a joy to come in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we meet together with you, thank you for you being with us. And again, we receive what you're wanting to share and just receive your ministry in our lives, but also in the lives of the communities that you have placed us in. Father, we speak Jesus over the people of our community. The blood of Christ and the power of the blood of Jesus in redeeming people, in by your Holy Spirit coming in and really awakening within our communities, a spiritual awakening, a desire, an awareness of their need for your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you as you stir up within the body of Christ, men and women and children that have got a heart after you to be able to be involved in discipling. And so in every town, you've got laborers there. And we want to thank you, Father, for the laborers that you have prepared for a time like this. So today we ask for your grace upon each and every one of us, a spirit of wisdom and understanding to understand what you are sharing and be involved with your incredible heart to seek towns, communities, to see the people all over come into relationship with you, to come back home, Father, and we thank you for this. So today, Father, as we sit with you, thank you. We just love you. We want to just devote our time and everything to you, Father, and just give all that we have just to spend this incredible time as a family together in the company of your Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, and the cloud of witnesses, all those that have passed on before us, that we can meet together in the spiritual realm. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh. Great. Okay. As you can see by the title over here, I want to start both in this Zoom service and then also in the later on in the morning service at 10:30. Want to deal with some people will call it like a discipleship model, but it's based on the Lord's Prayer, and it will help each and every one of us to have a starting point and to be able to be involved with discipleship making, whatever it may be. If the person comes and that God is working in their hearts and they may be aware of their need for provision, you have a starting point. It may be, is God real? You've got a starting point. And so basically, so much of what we've been taught over the past couple of or year or so, if you take the Lord's Prayer, it's all there. Okay. And so this is just going to help folk that you can pass on so that they've got something to be like a framework, like a pointers to be able to use when they're wanting to sit down with folk and just to disciple folk. And so that's what we're going to be doing now. Going to be putting this down in like a package set up over there with the notes and that kind of stuff over there so that you can use it to help others in their journey of discipling as well. So, yeah, so that's what we're going to be starting. And so I want to go to some scriptures over here that I think is vital for us to understand. Remember, we've been speaking about the name of Jesus and the presence of Jesus we cannot separate. So the name of God the Father and the presence of God the Father, the same with the Holy Spirit, cannot separate the person from the name. And we've gone through a little bit of teaching on that. This is coming up very soon on our Facebook page. We will be doing a series on praying in the name of Jesus. And so you can just also just download or just watch that on the Facebook page as well if you're interested in just getting a better understanding of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus and to see how those prayers in the name of Jesus shifts everything, particularly as you're praying for your communities, how that, because that's God's heart for all to be saved and none to be perished. And it'll help you to connect to seeking first the kingdom of God and understanding the kingdom dynamics that there. One of the reasons why we're doing this is that, you know, often you help people speak about we got kingdom principles. And I don't want you to live just by kingdom principles. I want you to live in kingdom life. It's different. Principles can just be another duty, another law, and that. And but to live in kingdom life is totally different. And as I'm listening, I'm hearing more and more are being awakened to the reality of the kingdom of God within and understanding how to live in kingdom life. And that's the spirit of life and the law of the spirit of life. And so all of this will be included in this series we're doing on discipleship making. So in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this is a profound statement. In just the verses before that, there we see there, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And Shaman, I was actually thinking of you in this year because, you know, we know there that, yeah, we can see here to teach with songs and hymns and all that there. And I was just looking back at so many of the psalms. Is so much teaching that the people sang, and so a lot of the singing was like just embracing incredible truths concerning God. And I think in discipleship making, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, an incredible tool in song and hymns, etc., whatever it may be, spiritual songs, to be able to capture the discipleship journey in songs. And to be able to release it. So people sing that, and at the same time, they're implying this truth here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through to 17. And we see here in verse 17, whatever you do, whether it word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. So when we begin by discipling others, and we, by faith now, have got a starting point, we're doing this in the name of Jesus. It's just the same as Jesus sitting with the disciples teaching them. There's no difference. Okay, so all of a sudden that takes us out of sort of the discipline of discipleship making. It brings us into the life, the kingdom life of making disciples. It brings us into the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings us into the very life of Jesus ministering into the people's hearts, and that's different. And so that is why, before we sort of done the teaching on discipleship making and putting this series together now, he wanted us to be able to have a starting point of understanding what it means to speak, what it means to do something in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's as if we got faith and we believe, we got faith in His name. It's just as if Jesus is here and he himself is ministering to the other person. I think it was Thursday evening I was with a family and a lot of fear and so forth. And so I go in the name of Jesus and as I'm speaking to this person was saying, but it's like Jesus speaking to my heart. You see, and that's the reality, and that's when you know the Holy Spirit is working in the person's heart. The Holy Spirit is imparting truth that's beyond human wisdom. This is what we're looking at when we're speaking about let's go and make disciples. this is the environment. This is the atmosphere. This is a place we're in. We're in His presence. He's in us. We're in Him, and it carries that life. Now, another powerful scripture to help us in this is the one over here in John, and just to see that here where Jesus speaks. And he's speaking to disciples and so forth. And in John chapter 6, verse 63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. And that's when we come in the name of Jesus and we are sharing, we are ministering and speaking about God to people. But you're aware you've come in the name of Jesus. This is what comes through. The Spirit gives life. Flesh counts for nothing. So many come with their intellectual understanding of doctrine. But it's like, you know, you pick it up. It's just, it's like dead. It's dead. It doesn't bring life. But when you and I come in His name and we are sharing the gospel, the good news of God, the Spirit gives life. The words that Jesus spoke, they are full of Spirit and life. That's what takes place. Okay. So here's a scripture that you know you can grow into believing this when you come in His name. Even when you're praying in the name of Jesus, it's the same. The words have life. The Spirit gives life. It's the same. You know, whatever we do, whatever we say, the Spirit gives life. And that is in that Romans chapter 8, when we looked at that verse 1 and verse 2, where we saw over there that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now He's helping us to be able to step into the reality of when we come in the name of Jesus, we're living in that truth. Okay, that's the realm of grace that we have access by faith. We're living in that truth. And so our ministry, whether it's the spiritual gifts, whether it's, you know, just loving people, whether it is providing, whether it's giving, whether it is praying, whatever it may be, when you're doing it in the name of Jesus, not in the name of religion or in duty of a church mandate, but when we do it in the name of Jesus, you know life is being released. Okay, and that's going to encourage us because just to sidetrack a little bit over here, when we look at the parables of the kingdom of God, you will do well to go through the gospels and just really look at the teaching, the parables of Jesus concerning the kingdom of God. And there's so much truth over there. And one of the things that I'm very aware right now is that there's a lot there, but just one aspect over there is that the kingdom of God and starts off like that small mustard seed. Okay, then it grows. And that is where we are right now. It's like a small mustard seed now understanding what it is to live in the name of Jesus. But God says because it carries His power, it carries life, and now it'll start to grow. And you will see more and more the reality of what it means to be involved in expanding the kingdom of God, in building the city of God. All these incredible truths now, we are now involved with that. So whether one's praying, whether one is supporting in gifts, encouragement, whatever it may be, all of this now, when you're doing it in His name, it's all part of the involvement of seeing the kingdom of God growing in a community. And God spoke very clearly in Daniel with that vision that this kingdom of God, it's the eternal kingdom. It just rolls and it just destroys any other kingdom. And Jesus says the gates of Hades will not overcome. So we're in an incredible reality of being in the kingdom of God and our discipling based on the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. You see, it's all based on understanding what it is, who Christ is, what He has done, and how to be involved in living in and ministering in the name of Jesus. Okay, so I'm just giving an introduction, but another introduction over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, just to keep on getting it into our spirits over here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. Have the confidence when you are sharing Jesus, you're sharing the goodness of God the Father, whatever, it's all involved in that incredible good news, God's good news to mankind. It's huge. When you are sharing that in the name of Jesus, you know that the Spirit is giving life and the Holy Spirit is writing on people's hearts. And it's not our wisdom and our intellect and our abilities and that over there. Have confidence in God. He knows how to share. And that's why he often uses the example of little children. They just don't even know how to speak properly yet. and that's the reality. Have confidence in God's ability. And then we see there in verse 4, such confidence we have through Christ before God. You see, that's our confidence is in Him. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. That word competence is profound. Okay. He has made us. I love this. This is what God has been doing in our lives. Going through all kinds of trials, going through difficult times, being established in faith, being established in the centrality of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, being established in the new creation, all of that over there, that's Jesus making us competent, you see, as ministers of a new covenant. This is the laborers that we've been praying for. And in every town, God has placed each and every one of us in different towns as laborers now, being made competent. God Himself has equipped us. God Himself by the Holy Spirit has made us competent because we are doing it in the name of Jesus. Our competence and our confidence comes from being in Him and His ability, what He has done, and we have learned to operate in the realm of grace. All our human failures and our inabilities, Christ has dealt with that, okay? And he is above all. He's the King of Kings, okay? And so we are learning how to operate in the realm of the finished work of our Lord Jesus, in the realm of grace. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And guys, that's you and I that have taken in what God has been speaking, has spent the time to apply those truths and to be able to be established in those truths. Remember the parable of the sower that bears fruit. This is the fruit of being taught by the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of learning and being equipped by the Holy Spirit. He has made us competent to be able to be ministers of the new covenant. And this new covenant is concerning Jesus, and it's full of life, it's full of the Holy Spirit. That's the discipling starting point, okay? not on any other form, okay? Not on the letter, not on intellect, not on our brilliant scholarship, not on our doctorates, not on anything like that there, but totally in Jesus Christ and what He has done and the power of the Holy Spirit. So all of us can now share the gospel. No excuses that, we're not clever enough or we can't speak or, you know, et cetera. All of those, throw it out. It's in Christ Jesus and we operate in Jesus Christ and share the good news in Jesus. But make sure that we are in Christ Jesus and have been established in Him. Okay. So let's go to our first scripture that we've been looking at over here. Now, in Matthew, this is chapter 13, and this is a scripture that speaks about the parable of the sower. And in that parable of the sower, you, as we all see over there, it's an incredible insight to what we've been speaking about discipleship, making disciples, the Great Commission, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've taught you. Like, you teach them to obey everything that I've taught you. Now, and then he says, truly, truly, surely, with a matter of fact, I will be with you always. Okay? So in the name of Jesus, he's there. And so the Great Commission is being established and we are operating it there, as I've been sharing from those first scriptures over there. In his name, he's there. And because his words are spirit and life, you know that that's the way forwards. Okay, so now we start and we realize over here in verse 11, because the disciples are asking him, why does he speak in parables? Very important. You see, remember that the words of Jesus are spirit and life, not human wisdom. Okay, very important over here, because sometimes you will find that as you're sharing, I found folk come and they say, but you're sharing, but we want it more in human wisdom because they're not going to understand what you're speaking. I don't speak human wisdom. I speak spirit to spirit, you see. I speak in the power in the name of Jesus. And my confidence is in God himself, because a person is born again by the Holy Spirit. It's God who draws people to his son Jesus. And so when you are speaking spiritual truth, many people will not understand it. That's why the rebirth is miraculous. It is God doing the work. And when we are speaking spirit to spirit, when people then get born again, it's a true, genuine, born-again experience. It's not an intellectual sort of conversion, you know, because we're dealing with the intellectual basis and on to that there. No, we spirit to spirit and have confidence in the work of God in letting people be born from above, born from the Spirit, and then you know, here is a genuine conversion. This is real stuff now, because it was beyond human wisdom. They heard God speak. It's a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual birth. Okay. And that is why this is, you know, in my journey in discipling, this I found to be so, so true. Otherwise, if it's based on human wisdom, you will spend the rest of your life trying to minister to their minds all the time. You will, oh no. Spirit to spirit, okay. Life. Okay. So it's important when we're discipling a town, remember now, you spirit to spirit, okay. And you trust God in drawing people to Jesus Christ. That's the birth of the Holy Spirit in the people's lives. Okay, so we also speak in parables to many people. Okay, now he goes on and he says, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. That's why we see over there, we speak spiritual truths. Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. I'll give you the next scripture now, but this is so, so important. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. To them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. They will be ever hearing, but never understanding. They will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. Remember, we as ministers of the new covenant, we write by the Spirit onto their hearts, okay? And turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I truly tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And then he goes on, and he speaks about that parable of the seed in the people's heart. It's the parable of the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom. Okay, so we're dealing with the secrets of the kingdom of spiritual truths. It's not natural truths. They're spiritual truths that can be seen and manifested into the natural as it's written on the hearts of people. And as we go on, you will discover there in the parables of Jesus, you will see over there that when he speaks about the kingdom of God, it includes the world as well. And the world includes the earth. Cosmos is the created order. And Christ is the king of all. Okay. In him, he holds all things. All things have been reconciled. That in the whole created order, whether in heaven or on earth. And it's almost like if you take an architect, in the architect's mind, we cannot see, but it's made known on this ground. And it's like the mind of Christ, the spiritual reality, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So that which is in the spiritual realm can be manifested. So it's almost like the earth and the hearts of the people is like the canvas so that people can see the reality of the spiritual. Jesus is our example. God is spirit and Jesus is man. And so Jesus is like the painting, the portrait, is he's the building that God the architect has designed so that we can see the reality of what is in the spiritual realm. Okay. And so here we have Jesus speaking about this, and we notice over here, and you know, we've gone through the parable of the sower where we see that those who hear the word of God but do not understand. Why don't they understand? Because their hearts are hardened. In other words, they've heard truth, but they have exchanged the truth for a lie. Did you hear that? They've heard the truth, but they've exchanged it for a lie. That's what this hardening is all about. The blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. That's what blasphemy is all about. Where you say that which comes from God is not God, that's evil, and that which comes from Satan, you're saying that's good, and you know, and so you're twisting everything around. And so here we have over here that many, that's why in understanding what it is to teach people how to obey is so important to understand in the name of Jesus, so that you're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit that's able to penetrate the darkness in the hearts and where Satan has blinded. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit can do this. Christ has overcome the works of Satan. But there are folk who have deliberately exchanged the truth for a lie. And so they know what the Word of God is, but they have deliberately suppressed it and have chosen to follow the way of the lie. And we see that in Romans chapter 1, where then God hands them over to their evil desires. God hands them over to lust. God hands them over because they have exchanged the truth with a lie. Okay. And so they can hear truth, but now Satan just comes straight away there and robs it there because what does Satan say? Satan then comes and brings a lie, and they believe the lie, so they're exchanging a truth with a lie because their hearts are hardened, and now they've been handed over to just to the sinful nature and really being sold to the sinful nature like crazy. Okay, so that there. And so here in 1 Corinthians, remember there in verse 30, or let's go further up over here. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. And then he carries, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through his wisdom did not know him, God was pleased with the foolishness that was preached to save those who believe. We preach Jesus Christ crucified. Okay? A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those who are God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we've looked at this, but now I'm bringing this in the context of the Great Commission. Understanding in the name of Jesus, he's speaking now with the Spirit. The words of Jesus are spirit and life. Okay? So when we are going in his name and we've got his word established in us now, we're now speaking from that realm of grace. We're speaking from that realm of faith in him. This is what's taking place. The wisdom of God is found in Christ, and the power of God is also found and made known through his son Jesus Christ. And therefore it is because of him, Christ, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. And that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We will go into more on that as we continue. So in chapter 2, Paul writes over there, he wants to know nothing except Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Because remember, the gospel, the good news of God, is the power of God. Okay? And that is why you and I, we're not trying to go into philosophy to convince people and that we've had great philosophers, and that doesn't bring life. Okay, you and I, in every town, the laborers that Jesus prayed and asked us to pray for, as you and I have been praying for the laborers, God has made us competent of the new covenant, and that. And so he comes on and he says over there, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith, that is why I'm saying, don't be shy, don't doubt when you're speaking spiritual truths and the devil comes and says, man, they don't understand, you're speaking spiritual stuff and they don't understand. Don't doubt that, because God himself does the miracle of rebirth. And this is what Paul is saying. He's taking John chapter 3, verse 3 onwards to verse 6 onwards over there. This is Paul's interpretation of that. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith, this God-given faith, might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the genuine conversion that we speak about there in John chapter 3, about being born again by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's God's power. God brings him. We want people now to be born again by the Holy Spirit, because we are speaking the truth about the gospel, which is foolishness to many people. But it's the power of God. So we rooted and established in the good news of God, and we've got confidence. That's what we preach. We preach Christ crucified. We preach his death. We preach his resurrection. We preach the reality of the blood, the atonement. We preach the reality of his sacrifice in our place, the atonement, and all these things. We preach that. We speak that. We teach that. There's the power of God. We speak about our Father reconciling us through his Son Jesus Christ. There's the power of God. Okay. And what takes place there? The Holy Spirit, the words of Jesus, is life and spirit. In his name, Jesus is speaking to them personally. Okay? And that's the joy we have, because he's in us. And now you begin to experience Christ himself. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives. All of this becomes our reality. This is the kingdom life. Not kingdom principles, kingdom life that you and I live in. And then we carry on over here. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery. God's wisdom is Christ Jesus. Okay, God's power is Christ Jesus. We declare, in other words, we declare Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time. Now, just, you know, often folk are moaning and they have all these things about the name of Jesus. This mystery, that Jesus, the name of Jesus was before creation. The name of Jesus goes above human language. It was before languages were even brought into existence on this earth. The name of Jesus is a spiritual reality. Okay. And this gospel that is found in Christ Jesus was destined for our glory before time began. That's why I have confidence in the name of Jesus. And anyone that's always trying to debate about the name of Jesus, you know they haven't got this truth yet. You know that they don't have faith in the name of Jesus. You know that there's still confusion. Okay. And so you'll find all these arguments about the name of Jesus. I can share with you in Jude, you can read there's scriptures there that speak about the name of Jesus before the foundation, before creation. Okay. It's above human language. It's a name above all names, okay? And so have faith in the name of Jesus. It bypasses humanity. It's the spiritual truth. It's a revelation of the presence of God and all the good news that is found in Christ Jesus. And it represents all of that. Okay, so it's good news all the way. Now we carry on. None of the rulers of this age understood it. But look what he says over there. And again, very much of what we've just gone through, the parable where Jesus is speaking about. And he carries on. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. We've been made competent ministers of the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit that gives life, that writes on human hearts. Okay. Stay in this realm of grace. Don't go out of it and try and use your intellectual wisdom to try and persuade someone to be born again. Okay. Stay in the power of God. Stay in the grace of God. Share the good news of God. Share the gospel of God. And that these things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And it carries on there about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, okay, but the Spirit who is from God so that we may understand. See, faith comes from hearing God. Why did in the parable of the sower, why did that person who keeps on hearing but does not understand, that which they have heard is removed from them? Okay, because of their hardened hearts. But listen to this. This is why we speak, so that we may understand. Faith comes from hearing God. Have a soft heart after God. When you're discipling, I'll share with you the next scripture now, but when we're discipling folk, just remember that there are many, many times when you will recognize these folk are not true disciples of Jesus. These folk are not, they don't have a heart after God. Okay? And so they will never understand. They will not receive more revelation because they're hardening their hearts. And I'll show you scriptures now to help you with that. And this is why we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining the spiritual realities with Spirit taught words. Now look at verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. That is why a person has to be born again. That's why when someone is born again, it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle that can ever take place, is a person to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because otherwise, everything that we're saying in the spiritual doesn't make sense to them. It's foolishness. But then, as the Spirit speaks to them, faith and grace, hearing the voice of God, cannot be separated. All this is, you'll be born again. It's by grace we have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. And so as we are sharing, because Jesus is speaking, you know it's carrying the life, it's carrying the grace, it's carrying the words of God, and God is involved in the people's lives and bringing about the understanding. Suddenly it becomes real. And that's when you know when someone gets born again, where God, who is spirit, becomes real to them. It's not intellectual. God is real. And they respond. It's like God is there with them. And then they give their life and they say, yes, I believe. Then that's what we're talking about here. But now there's the understanding, that which is a spiritual truth. God is spirit. And now in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, now Father becomes a reality to them on their, in their life, in the humanity of this world. Okay. And that's what we're looking at over there. A person, okay, from the Spirit, be considered as foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And then the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Okay, so we've been looking at over there. Now, here's a scripture, and I'll close with a scripture. I see, time is gone. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, let's go verse 31. We often hear the saying, truth sets free. That's a partial truth. It sets free, but there is a continuation in that scripture. And many folk, and you'll see now why discipling is so important. Now, to the Jews who had believed him, so these Jews now have heard Jesus speak. They have faith comes from hearing. So now they believe Jesus. So now they have a faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. And Jesus said to them, now, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. That word hold means to abide, is to remain in the teaching of Jesus. Look at the consequences. You see, the disciples of Jesus are those who abide in his teaching, who take his teaching in, and who live according to his teaching. That's what this word holds it. Those are the disciples of Jesus. Many people give their life to Jesus, but they're not really the disciples of Jesus. A disciple is someone that spends their time with Jesus and learns from Jesus, takes what Jesus is saying to them, applies that, and lives in the reality. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Okay. And so the Great Commission, teach them to obey everything that I've taught them. Okay. And so now we're beginning to understand, okay, there's something about remaining. Okay. Then, If you walk in truth, then you will know the truth. Remember the parable of the sower? Those who receive and let it become established in their lives will bear fruit. That fruit is the freedom. That fruit is the truth. It becomes a reality. Okay? Everyone else did not experience that over there because they were not truly the disciples of Jesus. Okay? If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, Jesus is saying there's a condition to walking in freedom. You've got to actually walk in truth. You've got to abide in my truth. You've got to let truth come there. And why I'm saying this is that, and that's how in one has to have a lot of patience. And that's fruit of the Spirit, because so many believers will always be hearing but never experiencing that truth that sets free. And so they're going to be keep on phoning you, they're going to be keep on asking you, and they keep on there going back to that place over there and never moving forwards, okay, because they are not holding. to the teaching of Jesus and not taking what Jesus has spoken to them and now begin to apply that. See, in holding to the teaching of Jesus, it takes a discipline to renew the mind. It takes a time to be able to, when someone is abusing you, when someone is whatever, you know, misusing you, when someone is whatever the case may be, or there's fear and all that kind, or there's lack, there's all these things. It takes a time to renew your mind to the truth that Jesus has put into you, so that it can get established within you. Then you will know that the truth. You will know the truth because now it's experiential. It's not intellectual anymore. Now it becomes your reality. That's what this knowing is all about. It's experiential. It's real. It's tangible. Now we walk in the reality of that truth. And now we walk in freedom because now there's no fear about what people are saying. Now there's no perfect love drives that fear. That's freedom. The love of God is perfect freedom. And now we live in the reality of knowing God will be, God is providing, God is with us. Who can be against us? We live in that reality of not being anxious. And that, so every time I get anxious, I know I'm not holding. I'm not abiding in truth. Whenever I'm worried about a situation, I know I'm not abiding in that truth. And so I've got to now get back into that. I've got to renew. I've got to take that truth that God spoke because I want to remain in that truth. You see, it's one thing hearing truth. It's another thing remaining in the truth. And this is why, sorry, I said that was the last scripture, but I need to share this one. This is why Jesus spoke in John 15 about the vine, the branches and so forth. And he says over there, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Okay, that's the freedom. And that's the parable of the sower. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so the true Christ is truth. The freedom is found in Jesus. And he's sharing what he spoke to you and I about. In what he has spoken to you and I about, that's the freedom in that very particular scripture that he's given to you. There's freedom in there. There's life in there. And he's wanting us to be able to step into that, but remain in that. The parable of the sower, only the last one remained in it. The rest did not remain in it. They got sidetracked. Okay, remain in the truth. That's why abiding with Jesus is important, because he's the author and he gives us the strength and the ability just to remain and to be able to get that fruit established. And he says over there, I am the vine, sorry, apart from you, in verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and so forth. Now, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Who are the disciples of Jesus? The disciples of Jesus are those who receive, who believe in Christ, who receive the word and now remain in the teaching of Jesus. Okay? If you remain in me and my words remain in me, ask whatever you wish. That's freedom. That's the reality of that truth. Now you step into what Jesus has spoken, and now you can ask. And you take what he has now shared with you. You ask based on that truth right there, because that's your starting point. You ask based on that truth that he has given you. Now you can ask in his name. Okay, there's the freedom. There you know the reality of that truth. Now it's experiential. You live in the experience of that truth. And then he says over there, remain in my words, and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Who are the disciples? Those who remain in his word will know the truth, and then will know that that truth sets free. We need to show ourselves to be the disciples of Jesus as we have remain in him, remain his word, remain in us. The same thing that Jesus is speaking about, what he spoke there in Rome, in John chapter 8. Now look at this, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I keep my Father's commands and remain in his love. In the love of God, there is freedom. I've told you this so that your joy in the love of God, in remaining in that word, and that word remaining in us, there is joy. You walk in the reality of experiencing the love of God. You walk in the reality of joy, because it's Christ's joy that is made complete in us. Now look at this. My command, love each other as I've loved you. And he carries on about love. And then he carries on and he speaks over here about, oh, let me just get over here. Yeah, now we'll leave it over there. Yeah. It was verse 10 over there. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And this is what, when Jesus speaks about teach him how to obey, this in a nutshell, what I've shared this morning, is like the starting point when you're starting to disciple folk, is to help them to take what God has spoken to them and help them to be established in that truth, so that that truth becomes their experience. And in that experience, they're experiencing the life, they're experiencing the good news of God. They are now experiencing what it is to live being loved by God. Okay. Just as Jesus was loved by the Father and lived love because he kept his Father's commands, so you and I now, as we keep the commands of Jesus, we live in the reality of being loved by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We now begin to live loved by God. Okay, and that's the freedom. That drives out fear. And so, guys, that is the, as I said, the starting point. So time is gone, and so as we have communion this morning, again, it's just a time of tremendous celebration that you and I can be involved in this incredible ministry of the new covenant, that in our workplace, in the schools, in our families, in our communities, you and I are the laborers that the Father has prepared into his great harvest field to be able to go and write life into people's hearts so that they too can experience what it is to be loved by God. Amen. Now let's spend time in the communion together.